White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is War. P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And guess what? Big surprise. Here we have our guest from Akron, Ohio, Tom Padgett, back here with us, otherwise known as the co-host on the Race and Reason TV show. Say hi.
Terrible Tommy 2.
Terrible Tommy 2, and we got Doctor of All Truth. In short, he says God.
Honorable Call Reverend Doctor.
Honorable Reverend. Reverend? Doctor. Why would an Otis use the word Reverend?
He's because, a Reverend of the Church of Truth.
There's absolutely motherfucking truth, baby.
I'm the Pope of the Church of What's Happening Now,
that's
baby.
True.
What's working now?
Okay, and we're at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And now we're going to start the show. Who's going to take up the first issue?
Him.
Him.
Oh! He's talking about phase three. Going to phase three.
Phase three. Okay.
Come on, let's hear about phase three.
Sound like my idol Rock while you're talking about these phases, but.
Yeah.
Well, we were kind of talking earlier in one of our previous shows about the futility of the group approaches that's going now, and that leads to the question, should we just start watching basketball and eating Cheetos and give up on things, or should we keep striving for other breakthroughs in other directions?
Who are you talking about? I don't eat no Cheetos. I don't watch a basketball. That's nigger ball.
My trainer would kill me if I treat Cheetos.
Cheetos? But that's such a politically correct food. When you think about
it.
It's empty. It's meaningless. It's expensive. It's
fattening.
Yeah. And basketball is such a great sport for politically correct folks to watch.
It's nigger ball.
Well, see, that's why I recommend watch nigger ball and eat Cheetos to these kind of people.
Well, do I have to stop eating popcorn? You know how much popcorn we eat.
No, wait a minute. Let's not talk about popcorn.
Okay.
But the thing is where I see progress coming for our side is to start to look. I think maybe, what's the old, there wasn't that old song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Well, how did it go? You're a karaoke guy, Tom. How'd that go?
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
That's it. That's exactly it. Man, this guy's got a second
clue. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, you think about it. A lot of these right-wing groups, as they're currently constructed, want to appeal to the mainstream, and that's why. Remember all the flack you catch about your cartoons in the world?
Oh, we're going to offend people.
Oh, well, we can't do that because we need to tone it down, and we need to appeal to Joe Sixpack and Sally Soccerman. And if we can just tone it down and get the masses in, if we all wear suits, and if we look like Republicans, and if we become more like Republicans, then we'll get the Republicans with us.
That's what they tried to sell Attila the Hun, too, but he didn't buy that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they probably tried to sell that to Napoleon, Hitler, every revolutionary, Stalin, Pol Pot, I mean, go on down the line.
Yeah.
They probably tried to sell that to every single revolutionary. But where I think the mistake has been made is, here's a group like the National Alliance that's saying, well, wear suits, go to meetings, let's be more like Republicans. Well,
the Republicans aren't even winning, really. I mean, their whole party, you know.
Well, the Republicans are going, we got to be more like the Democrats.
Now they got to be more like the Mexicans, because the whole deal is to recruit the Mexicans.
Well, that's the
you know how many of the Mexicans voted in the last election? 7%.
Yeah.
So all these Mexicans are depending on who's the advisors of these assholes.
Yeah.
Well, not us. But if you think about it, just in the past few months, I've come up with some different ideas here, and I'm going to throw them out, and I want you guys to tear them apart, agree with them, disagree with them, whatever. But let's
don't worry, you're in the right place.
Let's just buckle the seatbelts, and that goes for all you folks out there in internet radio land.
Yeah.
We expect some feedback here too.
Okay.
If you go back to two books that I've recently read, Black Sun by Nicholas Goodrich Clark. I imagine we've talked about that before on this show.
Yeah.
Written by a gentleman who I don't think is sympathetic to us.
No.
But he really pays us a backhanded compliment by saying in another 30 to 50 years, look out, all bets are off.
These guys mean they might build a monument to us guys?
Might do more than that.
Oh.
We may come to power.
Whoa!
Okay. And the second
we're
book...
coming to power at last.
And that's when the traitors get gas. The final solution will cause their pollution, but oh, what the hell, gas them all. Now, let's not get started here.
Okay, well, all right.
We're not auditioning for the Glee Club, are we?
No.
The second book was Gods of the Blood with Professor, what is his name?
Lion sack of motherfucking shit.
Whoa! You know why he just can't stand it. Matthias got bad reviews, that's why.
Yeah, but look,
I got good reviews.
Well, the thing is, he's just lying about the McNallan, they made McNallan and the Thorson being like they're Aryan Nazis and they're both a bunch of fucking pussies.
Wait a minute, why didn't you push the part about me? It's pretty good.
Nah.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, okay, I know Wyatt like a brother, okay? Mm-hmm. And some of it was good stuff, what they said about him.
Sure.
And the negative stuff has induced some positive changes.
That really worked.
Yes, it has.
Nothing happened more.
Hey, the guy's 100 pounds lighter. I was on him for 20 years.
Thank God for that book or Odin or somebody.
Because I was on him for 20 years. He wouldn't touch a weight. All those times he'd come up to L.A. while I was living up there, I'd try to drag him in the gym. He'd want to sit there and eat his Cheetos on the couch. You know, I'd put those Cheetos down, you know, and he wouldn't. He had this big giant bag of Cheetos and wanted to eat.
I used to put a hamburger on two ends of a broomstick and lift them, you know. That was weightlifting.
And, you know, Tom, what I hated about this guy is he is just so naturally, brutally strong.
Yeah.
That we were doing a tug-of-war at an Odinist thing once. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's one of these single elimination things. It starts off with like 16 people, and then if you win your first one, now there's 8 people left, and there's 4, and you just keep going against the winner. Well, this is 20 years ago. I'm doing my powerlifting, and I'm in tip-top shape. And so I'm down to the finals, and I've got to face the winner of Wyatt and Ed Conley, that 450-pound slob who was the president of the Odin Sons Bike Club.
He had to quit riding his motorcycle because he couldn't get on it.
So I didn't know. I mean, I knew I was in a lot of trouble in
yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. But when I seen how Wyatt manhandled his 450-pound Conley, I was mentally defeated in the finals. And sure enough, there was just nothing I could do. Wyatt just yanked me across. And I've always been on him to get in the gym. To get in shape. I mean, this guy 20 years ago could have been in the cage ultimate fighting.
Well, if you were a blonde and blue-eyed chick, probably could have got him
in. If my nose was straight.
Yeah.
But the point is,
well, what's that all about, anyhow? It looked like you've been hammered a couple of times.
What Ronald Reagan say? Honey, I forgot to duck.
Yeah, right.
The thing here is what I'm getting about this book, Gods of the Blood, and I know that it's kind of a love-hate relationship you have with it, would you say?
No, it's total hate.
It's total hate.
Believe total hate?
Oh, he hates that book.
Am I out of line even mentioning this book?
He won't even let me sell it.
It's a piece of shit.
Whoa, man.
Ah. You know, they even build up Elsie Christus and that chicken shit.
They give her
a bitch for chicken shit.
All the dirty lines.
And here we go.
Yeah.
It's like that first radio show that Wyatt did with me and him and Larry went. When all the way down here to San Bernardino, Casey, Cecil Johnson, Tom, you remember that stake in the grass? Because you told me, watch him.
Well, he was a big-ass Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So we get in there, and all these guys are saying, now, Tom, don't be a loose cannon. So I'm trying to be Mr. Polite.
Right.
Then Wyatt gets on the airways, and you were calling him Wyatt Earp. You taped the show. I wish we could find that tape.
Probably here someplace.
Oh
yeah, that's when McNallan and Thorson were all pissed off at me because I went on like an hour diet, you know, went on for an hour, but just about the niggers and stuff.
I was in the job court. I mean, he smashed this guy in the face, and, you know, I had to start fighting back, and I mean, and these filthy niggers, and, I was just kind of looking at him.
I think that's the first time anybody ever said nigger on the season.
Yeah. And then Larry gets on there, Christ is a very evil god. and this Cecil Johnson, you know, this cowboy, is, oh my god.
He's sort of a make-believe, what's his name, the guy that just died.
Wally George.
He was trying to copy Wally George.
And you remember, he got on the airways.
Well, you know what? He was afraid the niggers were going to blow the place up, too. Remember? He's afraid they're going to shoot through the window.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
because he was a conservative. But after we left, they probably went by with a machine gun. I mean,
And that was so funny.
Nothing like us to really go after a conservative.
Oh. Remember, he got on the air and he says, now look, he says, come on, folks, he says, please call in. Normally, all you folks are calling in quoting scriptures when there's guests on that aren't talking about religion. Here we've got 3 guys on here that are devil-worshipping Christian bashers, which we're talking about the devil, but, he says, and I can't believe you won't call in. And that's, I think, why it says, because they're in shock.
They were in a shock. They couldn't believe what they were
doing. We're telling them that Christianity was a Jewish plot to destroy the white race. If you imagine some 90-year-old lady, all her life she's been on the Bible, she's probably just had a stroke or something.
Yeah.
Well, the point is, I'm going to stand by what I said about that book, and if the big boy deals, if Wyatt Reverend Honorable Doctor Caldenberg deals with me afterwards.
Well, I don't see why you want that reverend in there. God,
if it's good enough for the niggers, if it's good enough for Martin Luther King, good luck to me.
Well, I'll have to be dealt with. Okay, but I will say...
Well, as long as he accepts it, I guess it's okay.
Well, the last chapter of that book
and
the last chapter of Black Sun both kind of drew the same conclusion, that the type of people that we need to concentrate on are people that are outside of the playpen, the paradigm playpen, okay? In other words, when someone understands suppressed inventions, suppressed technology, be it alternative energy, take something like cold fusion, and I could talk for hours on that. I don't want to get too far off track here. But when it comes to alternative energy, alternative medicine, what we're seeing in the mainstream media is not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when some innovative technologies can come into play here.
You're not going to come on my show here and tell me the media lies.
Okay. Is it my turn, sir? Okay.
You know what Wally would say.
But all of these people who are outside of this playpen, so to speak, the people, we're talking the radical environmentalists, the animal liberation folks, the folks that can look at globalization from a socialist viewpoint and see the human damage here, the so-called left-wing types, all right, or the alternative energy, the alternative medicine. These are the kind of people, even the conspiracy buffs, who don't believe what's coming out of the system. Now, right now, we're not reaching those people. I mean, let's face facts.
Well, excuse me. Now, there's one thing you got to remember, though. Part of these radical environmentalists are wackos.
Mm-hmm.
They're not conservationists. Some of them come up with things that are actually dangerous to the environment.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you got to watch that, too.
Well, I understand that there's a lot of degeneracy there.
Mm-hmm.
But compared to the right-wing pool that these groups are fishing in, you see, at least the people that are outside of the norm can at least understand, well, maybe
the biggest fallacy with all these right-wing members of the group is they're in an extremist group, and they want mainstream people to join an extremist group. But historically, only extreme people have joined extremist groups, and mainstream people join mainstream groups.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't fit in the Republican Party because we're extremists, because the mainstream group, we would be like a fish out of water. Same thing, mainstream people, they come in our environment, they're like a fish out of water. It'd be just as intelligent as what we need, the race movement needs, we need niggers. If we got niggers to join the white race movement, then we'd get somewhere because there's so many niggers
out there. There's some right-wing groups that talk about
Oh, yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, you know, the only way to get the Republican Party to join you is to become the Republican Party. You've got to denounce everything about what the left they do. They always play down the race and what they're thinking, and they're basically denouncing. And we sneak up, and once we denounce the race question, we bring them in, and then we just sneak up onto them and go, then we won't have victory. But, you know, look who's done that. You know, the Republican Party have been sneaking around, you know, since the history of the Republican Party. And, you know, Pat Buchanan, what are we supposed to be like, Pat Buchanan?
Yeah.
You know, well, look how far he's got.
That's the idea.
You know,
right,
the whole, talk about, you know, like Odin with McNallan. Well, look at McNallan. He says this big thing. He says, we will use the word folk, and we will not tell anybody it actually means race. And once we got ourselves a mass movement, then we'll spring on them. You know, and what is, you know, McNally can't even get enough people to support his fucking magazines folded. You know, he's been hit it, what, for 30 years? It's a piece of shit that folded.
Well, I don't think he likes that man.
No.
Whoa. I don't think he likes that man.
Well, he's okay. A coward and a failure.
All right, now what's next?
Well, what is next is the way that we instill a little racial awareness into some of these people that are on the other fringes.
Mm-hmm. You know how you do that? Is get your friendly local nigger to beat the shit out of them. That gets better.
Well, that helps.
That does more.
That helps.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, we are on the side of nature. Okay?
Yeah.
Don't fight Mother Nature. Yeah. And I'll tell you, another good way to go about this, I think, is it's like Wyatt was once telling me, he's my reverend now.
Yeah.
Okay? He's my reverend, honorable doctor.
Yeah.
Like he said, as far as approaching a woman when you're out, and he's going to have to put this into practice on for himself.
Okay, how do you approach a woman?
Well, when you approach a woman about this issue, say that you have a relationship, and all of a sudden you got this skeleton in your closet, you see, that you're a white ear and resistance associate.
Oh.
Whoa, boy! Yeah. Now, it's going to be one of two things. But as Wyatt always said, she falls in love with you first, then she understands
everything. How long does it take you to accomplish all this?
You're looking at me or him?
Both of you.
Oh, both of us, okay. Yeah. Well, I have my woman. I'm happy with her.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. Wait.
And he's still working on his trainer. Well, we should ask you. You're the one with all the kids.
Why, yeah. I mean, okay. I wasn't a full-blown racist.
Let's shut up and listen to him.
When I first got married.
Okay,
I mean, you know,
you give advice to all us single guys.
I became right-wing conservative, mm-hmm. but I didn't.
Oh!
Yeah,
right-wing conservative.
Believe me, I know what's wrong because I've done it all, you know.
Okay.
But now the second time around, after my wife died, and after a couple of years, and I start looking around, I didn't jump on a gal and start trying to convert her politically.
Mm-hmm.
But she had heard who I was, and I wouldn't deny who I was. But you don't, you don't jump on them and try to make them a fanatic overnight. These guys, a lot of guys, you know,
oh,
they
yeah.
do that.
Oh, I've made that mistake in the past.
You know, they want to make them
guilty.
A soldier overnight.
Yeah.
And women are wired different. That's all there is, you know. It's rare that you'd run into a woman who would adopt your position and be a radical right away. You gotta make him, like he said, love you, like you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And I think that this man is an absolute genius, and he's right. And I think, furthermore...
Wait a minute. Genius?
Yeah.
That's going too far.
Absolute, motherfucker.
Not on my show.
Well, that's right. One step below God. So.
All right, now, the point is...
His genius is a step down from God.
Isn't,
that's true.
Yeah.
Isn't this the same psychology to be used when making some other contacts? Okay, for example... next year, I'm enrolling in a massotherapy school. Okay, now, massotherapy, okay, you let the body heal itself. You follow my drift here?
Well, it does.
Right, well.
Why do you have to join a school?
Well, because I want to do this professionally, okay? I want to do this, all right?
Well,
and
you
it helps.
Want to gain an income from
God damn
it. Yeah.
Con masses.
Because we should
well,
all
it's very simple. They're laying there sick, so either he'll die or get well. I mean, you know, one way or the other.
We give them a chance. But the point is, in that kind of environment, and I'm just taking this as an example, in that kind of environment, we have some people who are aware that maybe the correct answer is not to always go to your doctor all the time. Now, I'm a firm believer in traditional medicine. If I've been shot or run over by a car, I don't need a back rub.
I don't
surgery.
Go to the doctor unless I'm just absolutely
right.
at the end of the road.
Right. And the overwhelming majority of times, the body can heal itself. But we have people that are outside of this paradigm playpen. This is because, you know, I've mentioned that phrase playpen before.
Yeah.
And you thought that I... and you and
paradigm.
Show,
see, what's that mean, paradigm?
Train of thought. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Boundary of thought. But playpen...
Can't use those big words on this show. This
okay.
is a working, white working
okay.
man
Whoa.
We don't have
last time I was on the show,
here.
You were going to give me public credit for taking the word playpen and being the first in the struggle to use it. And
yes.
I had to confess, George Lincoln Rockwell coined the phrase. But
you're telling me that all this time I gave you credit for it, that George Lincoln Rockwell...
But I'm a plagiarizer. But an honest plagiarizer because I'm admitting it. But the point is, my strong point is taking something and taking it to the next level. I grabbed it from Rockwell, and I like to think I've really...
Well, how are you
going
to make money telling people not to go to the doctor?
Well, you listen. Let me finish, all
well,
right?
Well, it takes you a long time to finish.
I know. Well, hey, Sagittarius rising, what can you say, you know?
It's all right when it's sex, but, you know, in
okay.
conversation, it can get
okay.
long and drawn.
Well, if we have people that are already outside of the mainstream, now that's step one. Be it, well, we don't like genetic engineered foods, and we think that the corporate greed is out of control, and we think the corporate greed stops the different alternative energy technologies.
They're most of those are flying saucer believers, too, aren't they?
Hey, even them. Even them.
What, are you going to bring those together into
okay.
a revolutionary
well,
army?
Well, what? No.
I
no.
think I'd stick with the Republicans.
In a word, no. But the plan here is to see, is to first off, is we approach these people as individuals, not in a group, with no ulterior motives, okay? Now, I'll give you an example of an ulterior motive. The National Alliance had a big thing back in Cleveland about approaching the death metal people, the black metal people, the heavy metal people, you know, all these mm-hmm. different metals. And they would approach these folks at these concerts and say, well, hey, you guys are outside of the mainstream in music, great. There's Resistance Records, Music for White Kids. But if they decide to get more involved, then it's like, well, let's put on a suit, act like Republicans, and pay your dues and get more members. That's not the answer as far as having an ulterior motive.
Well, you think
motive.
You're going to turn a heavy metal, black metal guy into a Republican suit-wearing National
right.
Alliance guy, you're out of your mind.
Right, okay. What I think the approach needs to be is when we approach some of these people that are out there in the fringe anyways, and understand, it's a numbers game. a lot of them are so far gone or so hostile to what we're trying to achieve that that's a lost cause.
Well, there's one area I totally disagree. I don't approach anybody. They approach me.
Well, that's...
When they're ready, they come to us.
Well, yeah, that also. Yeah. But however they become aware of us, if they understand that it is a two-way street, then in other words, we're not approaching them under the cover of a group and saying, well, we're going to act like we're interested in what you're doing to get you involved in us. No, I think that there's a lot of good there, that if we're approached and they see, well, yeah, maybe they're a little radical in some things, but they're good people, that's how these ideas will be spread. Let's go back to the latest Lumpanics catalog, if I may talk about that for a minute.
I still like Lone Wolf. Screw everybody and just be Lone Wolf. Okay. I don't want to have to run around teaching these people.
Well, it's not like it's an organized effort. It's much more of a disorganized effort. Much more of an anarchist effort.
I like that. I like this.
Yeah.
The left used to call that networking.
Right.
You know, like if you can come together on just one issue, you come together on one issue, and then if you got 10 million issues you disagree on, you just ignore them.
Well, I agree. I like networking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you work it with people on their level, and don't try to change them too much.
Oh, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, see what...
Well, if you change, you always have to change by example.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They have to decide they want to do it, because you can't
shove it in. That's probably like the example you gave with the death mental. Is those people, they wanted to transform the death mental people. They didn't want to network with them.
Right.
They could have actually hooked up with them and got a few things
out
of it.
Like when we go to these different concerts in the past, like Death in June, and like, I'm not trying to change Death in June.
No.
I'm not trying to recruit Death in June.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying you're doing a fine job. Yeah. Keep it up.
Yeah.
What do you need to do anything else for?
Yeah.
Right. And that's where I think that the approach in the past has been like an all or nothing situation, and it's been organized. We don't need it organized.
It's the Jewish way, control.
Right.
It's all about control. Like the Jews, they want to control the right, they want to control the left, but the secret is control.
And they're the ringmaster. They're the ringmaster.
So what's the right wing doing? The same thing they criticize the Jews for doing.
Yeah. Now, my point is, you look at the latest Lumpanics catalog, or even get one from years ago, go back through the Lumpanics catalog, and you get into the section here, say, Weird Ideas. And I think in this latest one, the first book was the Satanic Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second book was Camp of the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have to read anything after the Satanic Bible. Of course, it's not the Satanic Bible. It's
plagiarized.
Which we've been putting out for a long time.
But then
you know, that's all you need. Do you know that? If you read Might is Right, that's really all you need? If there was one book I wish I'd have been introduced to as a child, it was Might is Right. Boy, I'll tell you, my life would be a lot different today.
Even more important than the dispossessed majority?
Oh. Far more. I'm always suspicious of big, thick books because very important ideas could be transferred in thin books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Biological Jew and Exiles from History.
Mm-hmm.
The best stuff is thin, you know.
Speaking of Exiles from History, we need to get that back in print.
Yes, we do. Where are you hiding it?
I'm trying to find it.
I can't believe
it. What were you saying about Lumpanics
dialogue? Well, the point is, we go through the Satanic Bible, the next to that is the Camp of the Saints,
mm-hmm.
the next to that is a couple books by a radical anarchist.
It's too late for Camp of the Saints. We're living Camp of the Saints.
Yeah. Well, then we come to the Turner Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll come to a radical environmentalist situation, and then we'll come to a pagan thing, and then we'll come to Civil War II.
Does he sell Hunter?
No, he should.
Hunter's the best book they ever put out.
Well, I agree. It's better than the diaries.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. But the fact is that all these ideas are lumped in that category, and I think we can have a lot of crossover if we don't push it. It's kind of like a Zen thing.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like if we do less, we do more.
Yeah.
And it's...
I agree.
Whenever I get on these Zen riddles, people kind of look at me like, what have you been smoking or anything? But, I mean, if you think about it, for years and years and years, we've used this line plunge approach. And if I may talk about the line plunge, okay, to
the
use a
line plunge
football analogy, of which I despise the sport.
Yeah.
I wish I had a better one for boxing or ultimate fighting.
Go ahead, tell that story.
But nothing in boxing or ultimate fighting, the two sports that I'm familiar with, really translate into this line plunge analogy. But here we are. Let's say we have a football team, and it's the third quarter. Mm. Time's running out in the third quarter, and the score is 38-0, and we've got nothing.
Yeah.
And our game plan is to do line plunges.
In other words, go for the center.
just get the... Get,
I never heard it called line plunge.
Snap bomb and old man. That's what they used to do when I, you know, when I played years ago. So
in other words, you concentrate all your strength on the center.
Run straight ahead. Straight ahead. This is the right wing. Straight ahead. So, now it's 38 to nothing. Now we've got to move the ball, okay? So we get back in the huddle and our quarterback, line plunge. Oh, boy. Okay, so line plunge, straight ahead for a one-yard gain, second down and nine. Next play, line plunge, no gain, third and nine.
Yeah.
So we go back now. We've got 9 yards to go. You think maybe we should pass? No,
well,
line plunge.
Maybe we ought to pass. Shut up!
Line plunge. and he loss of 2 yards. It is fourth down and 11, so three and out, and we've got a punt.
Yeah.
What is the difference from that in the literature distributions and the picketing that these right-wing groups have been doing for how many years longer than I've been alive? I mean, forever.
This week, the National Alliance, and, you know, I sort of hate to bag on them because I like some of those people, but anyhow, they had a billboard up in Florida, I guess it was, and it made national press, one damn billboard, and the guys were sending me all this pictures of the billboard and everything in National Alliance, and I said, oh, terrific. Revolution is at hand. We've got one billboard someplace down in the Tules in Florida. Revolution, man.
Well, my whole point in what I've been talking about so far is to realize...
You know what you'd make more gain? Torching billboards.
Yeah.
Of your enemies.
Because this whole approach that we've been trying... And I don't mean to knock the bravery or the dedication of the people that have tossed the church. I mean, I know...
Oh, come on.
You remember the night that we went into Fairfax? We went into Jewtown in L.A.
Yeah, they said we didn't have the balls to come to the Jewtown.
Well, yeah, they said, come on. So we said, okay, we're coming.
We distributed 5,000 pieces of literature on Fairfax 5, Avenue.
5,000 newspapers.
And
5,
we went into Cantor's restaurant, the biggest Jew restaurant in town, and we put swastikas all over the place.
And gave the Jew waiter a hard time.
Yeah.
You remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Shrek was with us.
And guess who got out of the deal, wouldn't go with us? Remember that? The American Nazi Party in L.A. didn't have the balls to go with us.
Because we went to their place earlier, yeah. And you laid it on the line, yeah. And that's when I knew this was back, what, 84, 85? I knew at that point we're really breaking out of the right-wing chains,
yeah.
Because these guys were trying to hold a demonstration in support of a white cop that was whacked by a jigaboo, and you said, hey, the hell with it!
Yeah.
Let the niggers gun them down!
Yeah.
And at that point, boy, I looked around and I seen some of the guys were right there, and then others were kind of, ooh, wow.
Pulled into that place with all the papers in the back, and I walked in, I said, well, tonight, you know, we had a good time. Now we're going to Fairfax. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you'll get killed in Fairfax. I said, we're going. You stay here.
Yeah, well, who's with us?
5,000.
And we found out who was with us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And nobody bothered us at all.
Well, we just walked around like we're on our own business.
Yeah.
And took care of things.
So as far as putting out literature, I put out hundreds of thousands.
So don't tell me you haven't done it. And I think all these groups can say to us now, well, you and Metzger and Caldeberg and all those others from those days just, you know, you guys just screwed it up.
We've tried it all.
It's not like we haven't been
here.
We've
done it all. We've made all the mistakes. And the lucky thing, we're not in federal pen.
The whole thing is we have done line plunge, line plunge, line plunge, line plunge, line plunge, yeah. Line plunge, line plunge. I mean, how many more years do we have to keep trying line plunge, line plunge? No, I want to throw a screen pass. Mm-hmm. I want to throw a deep pass. I want to send someone around the end, okay?
Yeah.
And... that's where I'm looking at these other ideas. Now, I don't...
Well, that's what's wrong with organizations, because they're conservative by their nature. And so you got younger people in the organization to come up with good new ideas, but they're stilted from the top down. Oh, no, we can't do that. This is the game plan.
Line plunge.
The line plunge. Yeah. We've always... Now, wait a minute. Some of the finest people in this country have made the line plunge.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was good enough for them, it's good enough for us.
But you know what the definition of insanity is? It's to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. If you put it that way, all these reactionaries are basically insane because they keep doing the same old shit over and over, and they think something's going to change.
And again,
you know?
And again,
the Jews
and
keep
again.
Saying we're insane. We're the only sane ones.
Oh yeah.
I mean, why aren't people out in the street burning the town down because Bush is going to elect 6 million more Mexicans
because
to be citizens.
Because
why aren't people going absolutely out of their gourd? It drives me crazy. But you know, there's nothing we can do.
Well, the reason
why
is
they're not
going to
follow you into the street.
Yeah.
You know. They'd say, oh, well, these guys are wacko.
Well, basically, you know, the same thing with the masses is the same thing with the right wing. They want to be respectable. Because, like, even when you talk about people, you know, about how Bush did this or did that or stuff, whenever you bring up race, they're always quiet. A lot of times they'll agree with you, but they'll shut up because they're saying, my God, people think I'm a racist. People won't respect me. I got to wear a suit and be respectable.
But do you know what would happen in, like, France if the government announced it was bringing in 3 million Arabs tomorrow? French get out in the streets. They do. They riot. They have demonstrations. Mm-hmm. They burn things down a whole bit. And I got to give them credit for that. And, not the English, because they don't do jack, you know.
Yeah.
And not the Germans, you know.
No.
They must follow the law, you know.
Yeah.
But if the French and some other countries, if you'd say we're bringing 5 or 6 million foreigners in right now, they'd go nuts.
Yeah.
You know. But we've lost it.
Yeah.
We used to do it here. The great white racist...
Dennis Kearney.
All of these things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. So anyhow, until they're ready to go, we got to just roll with the punches.
Well, and I would say, too, just continue to start these little small fires. I mean, to use a trading analogy in the stock and futures markets, I think that if you approach each trade as a get-rich-quick thing,
yeah,
it's a road for ruin. I think let's pick and choose our battles, and let's try to profit a bit on each trade. And if the big hit comes, great. But in the meantime, let's make a good living at it. Now, to take that metaphor to what we're trying to achieve, if we can start some small bonfires. Okay, take a young kid who is very, say, leftist-oriented, read Michael Moore, read Al Franken and all this,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly expose him to the kosher food tax, okay, because Michael Moore talks about certain corporate ripoffs. I don't know a bigger one than the kosher food tax.
No,
if anyone
big.
Knows a bigger one, tell me about it. And just throw it at him and say, now, you do the research. If you've taken the initiative to read these other books, you do the research, don't take my word for it, and understand this type of thing. Now, do I expect him to turn into Timothy McVeigh tomorrow? No. But do I want to plant some seeds? Yes. And the audience that we need is the one that is already cynical, not distributing literature to Joe Sixpack and Sally Soccerman.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear it. I mean, the Alliance has this right-wing fantasy about, well, you know, we just got to get the rich. We got to get the rich. We got to get these professional athletes, these people that are doing these...
Why are the rich rich? The rich are rich because they've been screwing it.
And they played the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we've been having a good time here with old Tom Padgett, the co-host from the Race and Reason show. And if you would like to get some of those Race and Reason shows, and you should, we've got lots of them here at War. And we'll send you a catalog. You send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, we'll send you a free catalog out there. And Dr. Kaldenberg, the knower of all truth, is here.
Yes.
Spreading the gospel of... Odinism.
Goddamn
right.
And me.
Truth.
And are you spreading the gospel of Odinism too?
Among other things, yes.
Among other things. And I'm spreading the gospel of the church of what's happening now.
It's a democracy, and we outnumber you, so we're right.
I'm your happy cynic. That's where I come from.
Hail Odin.
You got to be a cynic, and you got to have a good sense of humor.
That's true.
That's what keeps you going.
That's true.
Now, where did we leave off here?
Well, like I said, we were talking...
We haven't talked about weather control, have we?
Weather control?
Or Tesla coils.
Wait a minute. I got an Art Bell tape.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Now that we're on this subject now, we can talk about the UFOs, the Nazi UFOs.
Yeah, Clark Kent.
Clark Kent?
Yeah.
My brother Clark Kent, he is...
Do you think there are UFOs, I mean, flying saucers?
I think there could be.
Well, somebody's saying something.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm a very cynical person, you know, and I'm not going to accept it as fact, but the point is there's a lot of people seeing something.
Now, is there a chance that perhaps a lot of SS folks did get out of Germany, get a place in the Antarctica?
Hollow Earth.
But the problem is they didn't take any women, and they just got old and died. They didn't reproduce.
Well,
and now
they didn't take any women?
Well, I don't know. I'm throwing this question out.
Are you telling me Germans that were headed for the Hollow Earth or the South Pole wouldn't take any women? Are you not?
Well, all the stuff I've read about it says they did.
They'd have had one-third of the submarine. Those were hydrogen peroxide subs that were really fast. One-third would have been... beer and cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
one-third of the thing would have been filled with women, and the rest would be the boys. That sounds logical to me.
I guess on the UFO situation, we can look at the suppressed technologies of the National Socialist Germany. But you wonder, if they're there, where are they now? We need them now.
Well, we haven't determined whether they're friendly to us, though. You see, you're talking about the boys, you're talking about the Greys.
What's this swastika flag hanging behind you there? What's that bust of Hitler over there? We're not friendly to... Oh, you know, look at him looking around like, who, me?
Wait a minute. I got a picture of a tree in the middle of a field.
Oh, yeah. Am I seeing this?
Yes, you are.
What kind
of... Got another Sam Adams. I got a Hitler bust in the other room.
Yeah, my office.
Oh, I'm in the wrong room.
Why, it's office.
In my office, there's a Hitler bust on my desk.
I'm in the wrong room.
I got a swastika ring on here, see?
Oh!
I wear mine. You know, Christians wear a cross. I wear my swastika.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong.
Yeah, you're thinking about my office and not Tom.
Anyhow, so we're...
I'm in the wrong room.
Yeah,
cut him off.
The wrong room.
Okay, but, I think I need another 12-pack of Saint Paul.
But anyhow,
I
don't know. What do you think? Have you ever seen a flying saucer?
No.
Well, Clark Kent told us all about him.
Right, and in fact... Speaking of that, we do need to acknowledge that this show is the proxy for the 20th anniversary of Race and Reason.
Oh,
yeah.
The first show occurred in the year 1984. What month?
Well, actually, the first show was in 1983, but it never reached the cable.
I'm talking about the big time, pal.
I know.
Okay, the first show was in what month of 1984? Trivia. Come on, old man.
Hell, I don't know.
June? 1984, that fateful year.
And I gave Odinus the first
The
first show.
And now he's still mad at you. Why
dedicated to Odinus.
And the doctor is still angry.
He's still
well, I was going to be on that show, except I had to work in Ventura on offshore well, because I was working for on a pipe inspection company, and one of the guys fucked up, and the thing dropped to the bottom of the well in the middle of the ocean 3 miles down, so I had to go and fix it. God damn it. So I missed
he's
the show.
He's held it against me ever since. Well, that was an interesting show.
Well, I hope so. And
well, there's still guys ordering that show.
Oh, really?
You can get it from War.
You know,
I got a whole bunch of old Race and Reasons that we haven't had on our list.
We're trying to find
them out.
Mm-hmm. Either 351 or 352, which is Clark Kent, UFOs, and White Revolution.
I know we've got it.
Well, you've got it. Get it. Okay? Because I want to see it. I want... One of my best performances as co-host when I was biting my lips so hard on some of the wild stuff here. I was like, wow, this is...
How did we keep from bursting out laughing at most of these things? You know, like Shrek
Well, but wait, in defense of Clark Kent, just as... I don't mean to be a hypocrite here, because I was talking about the alternative energy crowd. Maybe, because a lot of people would look at Clark Kent as a maniac. But I would say maybe he was... Maybe he was ahead of his time.
Right, you know, there are a lot of people that booby hatch that are ahead of their time.
Well, you know the story I told the first time I met Clark Kent. We were at the McNallan's Ossetoo Free Assembly meeting, and he was living in San Francisco, so instead of driving back to Southern California, I crashed at his night at his house, and what did he do? He dropped a hit of acid, he put on a Frank Zappa record, and all night he's frying on acid, telling me about Ben Klassen, UFOs, Hitler flying around, saying,
what?
This got to be the same.
And then he had a bunch of $100 bills saying a white man can make money.
Selling all those crazy machines.
He was in the, what is it, what's that guy's that Jew's name, that's Jewish psychology?
Reich.
Reich, yeah, he was telling me all the stuff about Wilhelm Reich, who wrote the book Mass Psychology of Fascism, where he was basically saying that the reason that the fascism exists is because men are sexually frustrated and they become fascist, and he was all that stuff. That may be true.
Yeah. I think men, if they're not getting it every day, are frustrated.
But I mean, here's this guy... Brian, have you ever seen an insane person on acid telling you about Ben Klassen? I mean, I was just sitting there for like 8 hours all night long.
Tell a story about when he went down to Clark Kent. You guys went down to talk to Ben Klassen.
Oh, that still was a classic. Went down there with Brother Torch. So the three of us went down. In fact, the night before, we'd been partying quite a bit, and then... You know, Clark was always such a stud. He had all these different girlfriends. So one of them's coming over about 1 a.m. So there's all this, you know, back there and moaning and groaning. Finally, she leaves. And so it's about 3 or 4 a.m. And me and Torch are still working on our next 12-pack. He says, get the match! He's pounding the wall. But anyway, so we get down there and we met with the Pontifus. And
for people who don't know about the Pontifus, he was a very
sort of an uptight guy. He was a lot of fun in a lot of ways, but he was...
But he was very conventional, very orthodox.
Very conservative.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the HP was Will Williams.
Yeah.
Another
wild man.
Yeah, so the five of us are sitting in his school for gifted boys, which there were plenty of tables, plenty of bunks, kitchen, everything, just no boys. All dressed up.
Where'd all those boys go?
And why boys?
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Well, now, are you starting trying
to...
No.
Anyways, so here we are, and so Bruce is, old Clark Kent's just off on a rampage, and he says...
Now, you're sitting in this room.
Right, we're in this room. So
and you and Torch?
Right, me and Torch, and Bruce is on the... Clark is on the other side.
Yeah.
And here's Bonifus. Will Williams, and then there's the Pontifus.
Now, is this the first time that the Pontifus has met Clark Kent?
I think he'd met him once before.
I see. Okay.
But I had met him out here when he was out here on the Race and Reason show.
Right.
So the Pontifus and I were buds. And it's the first time Torch had met the Pontifus. Yes, but Torch...
I remember, the Pontifus was funny. He was selling salubrious living to everybody, but he was eating pizza, drinking beer.
And had apple pie.
Yeah. And apple pie. I said, what's this all about, Pontifus?
Yeah.
Said, well, once in a while.
When you're on the road, Tom, it's hard to eat salubrious.
And I said, well, do you ever have a cocktail? Oh, I have a cocktail every evening.
Yeah. And then it was Torch, you know, my brother from back in Akron.
We won't go into why they call him Torch.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. But Torch had given me the copy of Nature's Eternal Religion back in 79 that got, you know, really made me realize Christianity needs to be looked at in a different light than what I've been looking at.
Yeah, when I first got it, it was way back then. I was really turned off.
What a dynamite
book.
I'm
still turned on.
Oh, it's still on my required reading list.
Yeah.
But anyway, so here we are down there, and so... Well, Clark Kent's looking out the window, and he said, Pontifus, you see that hill out there? And he's, yes. That would make a great landing pad for a UFO. And Pontifus is kind of looking at him like, what? And he'd just given him like a couple hundred dollars contribution.
Yeah.
So then I figured, well, I'm going to kick it to the next level, you know. So I said, well, Pontifus, maybe we could channel your books through some of these aliens. And all of a sudden, I received a vicious kick to the shins under the table. Ken had kicked me in the shins.
Who kicked you?
Clark Kent.
Oh, yeah.
He told me to shut up. Can you imagine that where you put your hands on a book and...
I haven't heard much of that channeling crap lately.
No, that's over with, I think.
Yeah,
that scam ended, but it was a big thing back in the late 80s, you know, where guys would get on Oprah and start rambling away, you know, so...
Talking to King Tut and all that.
Yeah. So, like I said, well, maybe we can channel your books. In fact, Kent and I one time went into a mall.
I'm surprised he would kick you, because it sounded like something he'd really go for.
Well, he didn't want me to mock. He thought I was mocking his ideas.
Mock a lot of people for years. George, for sure.
Yeah. So this one time we were in a mall, and we took a copy of the White Man's Bible and just left it in a bookstore. And then we sat out there in the center just to watch the fun. And so then I guess some Jew went totally, you seen him coming up, and he was yelling and stuff. And the people behind the counter are panic-stricken. So, we don't know anything about this. Then we had another situation.
Now, wait a minute. We're still at the table with the Pontifus. What? Is that all the story?
Oh, well, we had to change the topics for this UFO stuff.
Well,
because the Pontifus...
Well, did Ben want Clark to come down and head up his school for boys?
No. He wanted Clark to be the GP.
Oh.
The great promoter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
But see, then when the Pontifus passed away, and then the new Pontifus, Matt Hill, took over, there was no GP because he was the PM and the GP at the same time. Mm-hmm.
And then there was another guy from Florida in between.
He was the AM.
What was his name?
Rick McCarty.
That was simply a scam.
Rick McCarty.
He used to call me all the time. He was just taking over the church to use as a money deal.
Which was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
That
Boy, did he get a wrong number.
Well, I wonder what
Ben Klassen spent hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, a lot of money.
He spent lots of money.
Well, I would never attack... Ben's
he was totally sincere, and I hate to hear anybody attack him. We can have a little fun and like that, but I think Ben Klassen was a extremely good man.
Yeah, I mean, he...
And I believe the reason he committed suicide was because when he had come out to be on our show, he'd already had a stroke. mm-hmm. and you could see on the side of his face he'd had a stroke. And I think he just didn't want to go out like a vegetable laying in a hospital. And what kills me is when these people attack him because he committed suicide.
Yeah, oh, he was going to be soon.
Do you want to be a vegetable laying in a bed with some nigger pumping food in you and stuff like that? Not me. Yeah. I'm far more better to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, let's keep the show going here. We can't just stop.
Yeah,
right? So anyhow, Clark Kent went on to great things after that, didn't he?
Oh, he's just rocking and rolling in the UFO community,
yeah.
and I do think that he is an example of what we need to make some inroads into that community, and I'm not saying that he's going to change the world overnight.
What are you talking about on my show? Making inroads into the wacky world of flying saucers?
Yeah.
Well, I do have some
yes.
tape. I have some tape about that. Russian guy, and he puts out all this stuff about, you know, the South Pole and all that.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. We got to get Arch Edwards in on this because he's already staked. Wait a minute. He has staked out property down there, the Nation of Area, and I saw it in National Geographic that he had actually.
In the South Pole?
The South Pole. And that's how I found out. He never would tell where this Nation of Area, you could buy, you could be an admiral.
Your cousin was the queen of that, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, well, he offered her that.
But you had to pay for that,
yeah.
See?
No, she had a
well,
big
Well, she had big tits, so she
well,
could become a queen for free.
Gave him a little
Remember,
no way.
No, she didn't.
No.
www.NaziUFOs.com, and,
It is?
Yes.
So he's really still going.
Well, that,
Has he ever been to the South Pole?
I think he did some remote viewing there. I think he had some remote viewing.
I think everybody's talking about it. Why don't they put their money where their mouth is, build a raft
yeah.
like Contiki, and go to the South Pole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think maybe, well, history, what did Castro say during his trial? Or sorry, history will absolve me, or Castro, or if he had, I don't know if he had a trial, but I think Castro had that phrase, history will absolve me, or history will be the
they
judge.
They all say that.
Well,
know,
but it's true.
When you lose.
Or if you win.
Yeah.
No matter
Wait
what.
Wait a minute. When did they try Castro?
Well, okay, when got Castro's trial, but I mean, it was...
Hey, you know that this guy in Yugoslavia that they're trying at the World
There's
Court?
There's another, yeah.
His party just won the election.
Milosevic, yeah.
Yeah, over there in Slovakia, or what is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Serbia.
I think Castro did have a trial. He had run afoul of the Batista regime earlier.
Well, anybody that's a revolutionary is going to be
up
for grabs once in a while.
Yeah, but I think that we can say that about Clark Kent, that history will see if he was just out there too far or if he was just ahead of his time and will awaken some people racially in that community.
Well, in the meantime, I'll keep an eye on the sky because somebody said there's a big-ass cigar-type thing floating around. I heard on Art Bell, and you know that's absolutely
yeah.
dependable.
Well, we need Clark Kent on Art Bell. We need to have him as a guest on there. And I think
he's a little too wacky.
I think he's too far out for Art Bell.
I think he's too wacky for Art Bell.
Art Bell's back on the weekends, you know.
Uh-huh.
He has the other guy on during the week, America Radio or something.
Well, Clark Kent's a guy who saw the movie Men in Black and thought it was a documentary.
Was it? The little gray men with the big buggy eyes, and they look at you and you freeze. You're
right. What do you
yes.
think about this?
Freeze.
What do you think about this power grid collapse we had a while back? Now, I heard on the radio that that was a phony deal, and that the big boys want $50 billion to rebuild the electrical power grid, and it don't need rebuilding.
Well, haven't we seen this again and again and again? You manufacture a crisis, and then I've got the solution.
Government by crisis.
Yeah. Now I don't know if that's true, but would it really be surprising?
No, because the guys they create a situation and then they move in and say, well, it's going to cost $50 billion.
Well, look at what we're seeing with. I don't mean to go back on where we've been earlier, but go back on the whole situation with Zog and the Homeland Security thing. Zog has created this nightmare by supporting Israel. This is a very simple equation.
Actually, by electing Bush, because with that, the Arabs just threw up their hand because they knew he was joined at the hip with Israel.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have happened if Gore had been elected.
I agree.
You know?
But would have, could have, should have. So here, we're at this point where we see that, you know, where we see that whole joined to the hip situation. So they've created this nightmare. So now, well, we have the solution. just sacrifice a few more of your privileges.
Yeah, you see.
And we're not taking them away. Like in the latest one, Pass Catalog, you're saying, well, we're not really taking away your privileges. They would say rights. I say privileges.
Only temporarily.
They just are on hold for about the next 30 years.
We'll give them back.
You see.
No government ever gives them back.
No. Remember the Social Security number? Remember what was that when it started in the 1930s?
Yes.
For just Social Security purposes only? What is it now? Try to rent a plane ticket.
And it says right on it, not for identification purposes.
Well, you know, the income tax is supposed to be a temporary thing. That's how they sold to American
people. Well, look at the excise tax on tires for World War II. They never took that off, did they? No, once a government gets a way to fleece the people, they're going to continue.
Oh, yeah.
So I think to kind of put it into final perspective, I mean, I think our job is to, you know, everyone says, well, when is the time going to be right? When is the time right? The time is always right to do what we're doing.
Yeah, to do whatever you can do.
And I think as far as putting society back together, I don't think any of us can answer if and when the collapse will happen. I mean, I think it's more a matter of when than if.
It'll have to be a whole new Phoenix rising. Remember how the 20th century started?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all running around with horse and buggy, and how fast things changed.
And all of a sudden, the airplane comes into play.
Oh, man, and the warfare changed everything. Only this time, this century, it's going to be 1,000 times faster to change.
Exactly.
And so trying to figure anything out by the old ways is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't look ahead that far.
Yeah.
It's going to be a week-to-week big change.
And I think none of us know for sure, but I'll say one thing. We know what doesn't work, and I think both of you can agree with that. Mm. We know what doesn't work, and what doesn't work is the right-wing line plunge. That does not work. It doesn't work. If someone can show me where it's worked, I'll shut up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be unconventional warfare through most of this century until one side totally wins or the other side wins.
Until there's no white people left or until...
All the countries of the world, people, the nationalists, against these damn globalists.
Mm-hmm. Because, and we'll see how it comes out.
And we'll see how it comes out. It's going to make strange bedfellows, but it's here. It's happening.
But
now.
I think there's... What's that ancient saying, may you live in interesting times?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Arab curse.
We do.
I heard it was a Chinese curse. You're saying it's an Arab curse?
Oh, I heard it was an Arab, so it could be a Chinese. Who knows? One of those darkies.
Arab, Chinese.
Wait a minute. A wall created that? We can't have that. We got to dig up a white guy that did that.
Okay. Thomas Paget.
All right.
May you live in interesting. That's a Thomas Paget. I'll take credit for
that. All right.
Okay.
Dr. Colin Berg has now left the building, and it's left here with Thomas Paget, the co-host. And me. So we're going to sort of wind this down. We got a few minutes left here. So there's no way of predicting what's going to happen.
Well, one of my entrepreneur specialties is my psychic business, which I refer to as myself as a human consultant.
Yeah.
A human relations consultant.
I would like to know about that.
Hey,
what do you see?
How about, do you like that phrase? Human relations consultant?
That's good.
You know, because I'm not just a fortune teller sitting there with a crystal ball.
A lot of guys ask me all the time to tell them the future, and I got you right.
Well, now you have me.
Tell the future. An odinist that knows the future.
That's right. That's quite a combination.
Yeah.
An odinist who knows runic astrology.
Yeah. Now, what do you see?
Chaos factor. Wild times. Buckle your seatbelts. It will not be boring.
Uh-huh.
But I think that our job, as I've said before, and I don't mean to repeat myself, but our job is to just keep slamming the basic message again and again.
Yeah.
Keep starting the bonfires because you know, Tom, better than I do, there are a lot of people out there that are listening to the message. They're burrowed in deep. They're just waiting.
Yeah. And not to be conservative, we have to be flexible.
Well,
and when you know, like on the football thing, right? Whenever there's
even better, we'll just go to my love of ultimate fighting, shoot fighting, freestyle fighting.
Yeah, tell me about that. You got a school,
right? Well, I'm training. You know, I don't know if I'm going to make much of a comeback at my age. But
wait a minute, how old are you? You're going to get killed in there.
I'm being that beat up, but
yeah,
the point is. In freestyle fighting, what we see in like ultimate fighting, you have to be flexible. Because, even in boxing, sometimes you box a puncher, you punch a boxer. So you have to have flexibility in boxing. But in this style of fighting, we're combining boxing, kickboxing, takedowns, wrestling, and submission grappling on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, if nothing else, I think all of us hearing this, and in Europe there's a huge, I mean, this is really catching on big in Europe. In fact, we just, you gave me the information on the fellow from Belgium, which is a hotbed of martial arts. And I think that this style of fighting, you know, be it boxing or Muay Thai style kickboxing or just, you know, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, or combining them all in my love of shoot fighting and freestyle fighting, this teaches you to be flexible. Because if you, when the bell rings, if you go out and think, well, my whole plan is to land a right hand. I want to set him up for a right hand. And all of a sudden your opponent charges in and gets you off your feet. Now you're on your back. Well, now what do you do? You see, so there has to be, well, what if, what if, what if.
Right.
And the main thing is if the fight's on the feet, we'll trade punches and kicks and knees and elbows. If we're in close, we'll use Greco-Roman wrestling, judo throws, and in-close boxing dirty techniques. And then on the ground, well, we'll either wrestle or ground and pound, or we'll go look for a submission.
Well, what's your advice on the street, though? Just as a guy on the street, what is the best tactic if you're attacked?
I think to be flexible, and I think have a good background in both, because there are sometimes on the street that you don't really want to go to the ground. Like if your opponent has a friend, or if there's a lot of rocks and glass, and you might not want to go to the ground.
But isn't a grappler, isn't it more effective to get them disabled off their feet than to stand there and try to duke it out?
Yeah, I'd say though, a lot of times it's best to try to get, if it's a one-on-one situation, and if you have some grappling skills, which most people don't, then get them to the ground, go for a quick submission, or just pound them into, because gravity works on your side if you're a grappler.
Well, if they're trying to kill you, just kill them.
Right. Grappling works in your favor, because if you look at most boxing matches, there's usually a clinch and a tie-up, so there's all kinds of opportunities to get the fight to the ground.
But
so,
wouldn't you recommend at least carrying a knife when you're...
Oh, for sure. I mean, now we're beyond the realm of hand-to-hand stuff,
I think that
mace or a knife or anything like that's going to, even a stun gun, I mean, I think things like that will give you an edge out there. I'm talking about more like just if there's nothing, if you have nothing to fight with.
But there are weapons everywhere, you know.
Oh, God, as far as rocks, chairs.
Car antennas.
You know, screwdrivers.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an awful lot of things there.
Yeah.
And I think if you think unconventional and kind of think off the, again, like I keep saying, think out of the box, because I know that years ago in martial arts, if you'd start with one style, that was your style.
Yeah.
And you were trapped into that paradigm. Well, boxing's the best. Wrestling's the best. Well, karate's the best. Kung fu's the best. Taekwondo's the best. Judo's the best. Well, there is no best. You take what's next.
Actually, a 45 is the best,
well,
but you couldn't get in trouble carrying it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when a weapon comes into play, then we have other legal considerations.
Think that's quite
but
amusing,
I mean,
if somebody tried to attack me with kung fu or something, if I've got a 45.
Yeah, that kind of. Yeah. The question is, do you have it all the time?
Okay.
But I think that the main thing that that style of fighting teaches is flexibility, and I think carrying that over into what our struggle comes to. I think one of the biggest problems with groups is we haven't had that kind of flexibility. Like I said, back to that football analogy of the line plunge. Well, literature distribution has been tried before. In fact, I wish we could have a parade in New York City with all the confetti like they had on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? I mean, if all of us were out there in cars and everyone's throwing all the pieces of literature that we've distributed,
yeah,
I think it would make a great parade.
Yeah.
And for all that it is achieved. You see, so I'm not saying maybe it would never work. I'm saying right now, again, it's not working. Like I've said, stressed repeatedly, the tactics that we've used for years are not succeeding. So if they're not succeeding, let's be flexible and try other things.
But in the streets, you're recommending possible grappling, but...
Well, learn both, because if you can end the fight with strikes, fine. So be it.
Yeah, but if you go to a lot of those meetings, these right-wingers, nobody's in shape to do anything.
Well, a lot of this comes down to just cardiovascular conditioning,
mm-hmm.
too. And I would say that if there's one thing to do, I mean, a lot of it's just be in great shape. If you're in great shape, no matter what's thrown at you, you can take more punishment and outlast so many of these
folks. Of course, the average fight in the street lasts about less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's normally over pretty quick.
So even guys I've known that, I remember Carl Strait, remember him? He drank a lot and he was in some ways out of shape, but nobody could hardly do anything to him in a street fight.
Well, look at the doctor that just left.
Yeah.
You know, now here's a guy
who's... You mean the man who broke Araldo's nose?
Thank you.
I keep forgetting that.
Now, here's a man who really has no formal training. In fact, he escaped out of my boxing and Muay Thai lesson that we were going to work on today. How'd he pull that off? You know, you just had to get to work, huh?
Yeah, right. Working for the Yankee
Dog. I will say this much, that Dr. Caldenberg could give anyone a terrible minute or two. And after a minute with him, like I've often joked about him, if this were a parallel universe and we didn't know each other and I had to confront him, and if I knew as much about him as I do,
I wouldn't want
to. I'd try to just tire him out.
I wouldn't want him to be mad at
him. Well, I mean, that guy's charging at like him.
He can get mad, but if he got, when he gets truly
angry, he goes psycho.
He's a berserker. That's how I got Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah. Well, if you remember on that show, a few guys tried to block him, and he was like a charging linebacker. I mean, he just came in fling, and there, you notice those bodies just flying as he's moving around
the
wall,
though. The sea of the crowd. Right.
So a guy like that doesn't, like I said, I would just try to tie him up. And try to wear him out if I could, but there's no guarantee I could.
Well, really, a great part of survival in the streets is mental.
Well, I think a lot of it's body language, how you carry yourself, common sense stuff.
Yeah.
You know, what neighborhood are you in? And no matter where you're at, how you carry yourself,
well,
be aware.
Well, that's a lot of it, too.
You know, a lot of it, I think that we can go back to The Art of War.
Yes.
Read that book. Right. Because what does it say? The highest skill in fighting is not to win every fight. Mm-hmm. That you're in. The highest skill in fighting is to win without fighting.
Well, also not to go looking for trouble.
Right.
Some guys dress and do just to look for trouble. And I'm saying I've been all over the world. I've been in the worst places, in the waterfronts of all over these countries. And I've been in these really bad bars and everything. I've never been attacked.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Because you don't look for it.
I don't look for it.
Pick and choose your battles.
But when they come, you know, they look, they can see it in my eye that I'm not going to run.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like doing time in prison. Yeah. I mean, you don't do your time with your head in the sand. You can't just sit in your cell under the bed and tremble.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, what did Bob Miles say? Avoid sexual activity, drugs, and gambling.
Gambling, yes.
And then carry yourself halfway decent, and there's 90% of the problems right there.
Right. Okay, this has been a great show, Tom, and we don't get together too often, but I know you're carrying the torch back there in Middle America.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
All the boys at the friendly, I said hello.
We'll keep the war approach going.
One
and
of these days, I'll be back there.
You remember, revolution happens a day at a time, person at a time.
Yeah.
This is a marathon, this is not a sprint, and I never want our listeners to get discouraged.
That's right.
Because it is so easy to get discouraged with this barrage of enemy propaganda.
Right.
But remember, this is a long struggle.
Yeah.
And enjoy the struggle.
It's a father-to-son struggle.
And enjoy the struggle.
Yes.
Keep a sense of humor.
Oh, you gotta have that.
I mean, we've seen some associates come out and say, well, God, how can you guys keep laughing? Our race is dying. Well, come on. Enjoy the struggle, you'll be burnt out. So that's the way it is.
Well, carry the message back to Ohio.
Will do, sir.
And we'll keep it moving out here, Tom.
All right.
And when you get back out here, we're going to put you on the show again.
We'll be doing it up.
So long to the co-host of Race and Reason.
Lord knows I am peaceful when I'm left alone. I've always